This is the second time in my ministry that I've gotten an applause for just kind of being here. The last time was only a couple of weeks ago. So I don't know what's going on. Wow, this is humbling. This is a momentous day for me. This is a momentous day for my family. I have to point it out to you because you'll never notice it otherwise. See those chairs there? They were on the pulpit, on the platform of the Camarillo Evangelical Free Church the very first Sunday that I got here. And this whole front looked very, very different. It was heavy, dark wood, the same color as the balcony there. And just this dark wood all over the place. And these were the day when you had what I call the Pope seats. And you always sat up front the whole service, making sure that you tried to stay awake and realizing that everything that you did was being observed by someone. So these are the legacy seats. We thought about going all the way and taking the pew pads off, but that seemed to be a little bit too much. We just couldn't bring ourselves to that. But there we were 5 years, 6 years before we put the pew pads on. Do you know that when we announced we had a special project to pad the pews, that we had it in 1 week? It was amazing. It was amazing. So, anyway, this is a very moving day for me and for my family. The last 2 weeks have been kind of surreal as we've walked around and just kind of realized that this, for us, is really the end of an era, and it is in a real sense for you too. I came to this church a third of a century ago, 33 years, and I came a very young man. I look back at the pictures, like the pictures that you have in the bulletin, and think, who are those people? Somehow or another, you as a people have put up with me as I have grown really through you and through the Lord. You have put up with us in successes and failures, in joys and in sorrows. It's been, you know, this has been a great ride. And so when I come to the end of it, I look at it and think, I came a young man and I'm leaving an older man. Because I've decided that old is always 2 years older than I am, and it just kind of keeps moving. It's a moving target. But I am leaving with a whole different stage of life. And we have lived this together, and many of us have grown up together with this. I have seen children dedicated, grown up. I've seen couples get married and have their children dedicated, and seen their children grow up and get married and have kids and have them dedicated. I've seen children's children who've grown up in the church and are flourishing under God, and I just think, I am blessed. I am blessed. And we are blessed together that God has given us a family to live together, to love together. We've grown together, we've laughed and we've cried together. We've gone through a lot of joys and sorrows together. Some of those things in those early years, just with some of the dramatic and potent passings of key people, were just devastating to us. And yet the Lord is faithful. We saw struggles along the way, and the Lord is faithful. We saw great victories along the way when nothing seemed to be able to stop us, and we saw struggles along the way when it looked like we might be stopped, and the Lord is faithful. Isn't that a wonderful concept? That God has walked with us. And that God has not walked with one person. He has not walked with one individual that we would say, this is the person to whom goes the credit. Because that would be against everything that we know to be of Scripture, everything we know to be of the church, everything we know to be of who God is. There have been a faithful band of leaders who throughout these years have diligently sought God's face and worked for Him. There's been staff members all the way along the way, just various staff members that have come and poured their heart and their soul and their lives into this place and into you. And you know that to be true. There have been key leaders in the church that have stood up and walked with us and struggled and poured their heart and soul into this place. And that's evident from everything that we see around us. And there's you. There's you. You know, we often talk about the influence that a pastor has on a church. What I almost see nothing talked about is the influence that a church has on a pastor. Because it is profound. Barbara threatened me, but it doesn't matter. I have to tell you that I don't know if I'd even be here today, standing before you, if it weren't for Barbara. Barbara has taught me compassion. She's taught me to be sensitive to people around me. She's taught me when I'm perhaps a little bit harsh or abrupt. She's taught me when I need to listen more. She's pointed out things. I just stop and think about this companion in ministry that God has given me. And she has been not only a companion in ministry, but she has been involved in ministry, so key in a central part of the church and that face of the church. And I just stop and think of the many, many times that I would have failed if there were not a simple statement pointed out or a certain simple statement made, not haranguing, not anything like that, but a simple statement that says, have you thought about dot, dot, dot? Have you talked to dot, 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 whoever it might be? Do you think you ought to pay a little more attention to eyes and ears and heartbeat that I would have often missed? And it would have cost me in terms of ministry, but in more importantly, it would have cost me in my relationship to you. I look at my kids and the support that they have given me and how they have grown up and what they have grown up to be, and I am so proud of them and I am so thankful to God. I look at my grandkids and they think they own the place. I don't know what's going to happen here. But they think they practically own the place, but you know what? I am proud of them and what God has turned them into. What God is growing them up into. It is just such a great and a tremendous blessing to me. But I am proud of you. I'm proud to call this place my church. I am proud to look around and see what God has done in your lives, no, in our lives together. It's just a great and a tremendous blessing. And so I thought about what we should talk about today. Over the past 4 weeks or so, we've run a little series called Final Thoughts. Final Thoughts, those last little words that I would like to leave you with, those things that, you know, really, if we stop doing the things that we've been talking about, we will no longer be Chapel City Church. We'll be something else. And it could be a church that's highly successful as the world sees it. But somehow or another, the heart, the life, the soul will drain out of this place if some of those things that we talked about don't continue on. And so, as we move from there, I thought about this final word, this last statement. And it really hasn't been a mystery to me. A year ago, just over a year ago, Patrick and I embarked on a study that we call thriving, not just surviving. And we walked through the book of Joshua, and we talked about this great mission that God had called the children of Israel to, a mission that would be hazardous and difficult, it would be strenuous, but it would ultimately set the kingdom up, set the platform for the kingdom that would last more than 500 years in its independent state. But in mid-August, a year ago, when I opened up and read the first chapter of Joshua, that first section, I thought, that's my farewell message. That's my word to you. That's what I want you to carry forward and to think back on as well. And so, this is not a message that is deep in scholarly activity. It's a message that goes from my heart to yours. It's a message that if I could take my innermost being and just kind of meld it into you, this would be it. Because it's really not my message. It's really God's message. It's God's message of whatever this church looks like years from today, that I would hope for you. I would dream for you. So here's the stage. Here's the background. The people of Israel have come out of Egypt. They've had some great successes and they had a horrible failure. And God said, this is your mission for the next 40 years. It's to survive and to struggle and to raise up a whole new generation. And Moses did that. Moses was a spectacular leader. He led the people, he gave them God's word, and he had some failures. You know, that sounds familiar for any leader. Because on this day, we like to think of only all of the wonderful things, but you know, I've had my share of failures and reproofs. I have had my share of errors that I've committed, and I looked, and you know, you have been gracious to me. God has been gracious to me. And that's an important thing for us to remember, because no leader is perfect. But Moses was a man that led the people of Israel and did what God called him to do. And this was an exciting era where people's faith were built. They could look back and they could see marvelous things that God had done. They could see how God had moved and how God had worked and the miracles that God had performed and the way that God had sustained them for more than 40 years. It was an amazing thing how God worked in the heart of this people. But there came a moment in time when there was a new mission and a new vision that needed to be done. Moses, God said, would not go into the promised land. And it's clear that it was because of something that Moses had done that God told him to do a different way. And God said, you won't see the promised land. And there came that moment when God took Moses up Mount Nebo and showed him the promised land and said, this is what the people have to look forward to, but you won't be a part of it. You won't be a part of it, and at least not in that, well, Moses wouldn't be a part of it because he died. And that role of leader will pass to someone else. There'll be a new, and so as we look at this, that's the background. Here you have that wonderful moment when the people of Israel are at the Jordan, they're looking at this great potential, at this great future, at this new era. And there are some very specific instructions that God gives to this new leader. Now, the new leader is not here. And so these are words that I leave to you. And it starts off, let me just read, I'll read some selected verses out of the first 8 verses of Joshua, or Joshua chapter 1 through 9, out of the first 9 verses. And it says this, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I'm about to give them. Verse 6. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land. Verse 7. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. And verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This is God's word. Moses, my servant, is dead. My son Tommy said, are you sure you want to preach that one, Dad? I'm hoping it's not prophetic. I'm hoping it's not around the corner. That's not the point. But you know what? The people were facing the fact that a beloved leader was gone. He was no longer that person that was standing up front. He was no longer the person that would say, thus saith the Lord. And we have to understand who Moses was. It was God who said, it was the end of Deuteronomy that says of Moses, since Moses, no prophet has arisen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and all his officers and the whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power of or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. Wow, this was the leader that they had lost. How do you say goodbye to a leader like that? Now, full disclosure, I'm no Moses. Full disclosure, to mention my name in the same sentence as Moses is kind of a joke. But Moses was a leader who was passing, and I am a leader who is passing. And so there was that moment when the people might logically be mourning, be fearful, be wondering, what does the future bring? We have this future that lies in front of us, and how in the world can we possibly reach out and accomplish what needs to be done without our beloved leader who has been in front of us for so long? And God just simply said, Moses, my servant, is dead. And there needs to be an understanding that there comes a time when there is a passing of the torch. And when the torch is passed, it must be a clear and a plain and a complete passing. It must be a passing in the eyes of the leader who passes the torch. It must be an understanding that there is a letting go, there is a stepping back, there is a new person who is leading that. And the person who was the visionary leader, who was in that role, who along with the elders sets the tone and sets the mark and moves forward and says, this is the land that God has for us, is no longer my role, nor should it be. So it must be in the eyes of the leader. It must be in the eyes of the leader who receives the torch. There must be an acceptance of the challenge. There must be an acceptance of the goal. And it must be in the eyes of the people. But it was not just the passing of the torch. There's a challenge that comes to Joshua, and there's a challenge that comes to the people that says, get ready. Get ready because God has great things. You know, there was an era that was left behind, and there's an era to look forward to, and you can't live in the old. You can't stay back there. You can't long for the good old days. And by the way, there were times when Israel would be longing for the good old days. They would say, we had it better in the wilderness with the manna and the quail, that we used to hate, by the way. There are times when we wish we could go back to Egypt with the leeks and the onions, the leeks and the lentils. There's no going back. There's no going back. There's a moving forward under a new leader. And there will be trials and tribulations. There will be difficulties in the future, just like there are difficulties in the past that we tend to gloss over. But there's that moment in time when it says, get ready for something new. Get ready for something great. Get ready for God's movement. Get ready for God's challenges. Because I will pass off the scene, but Chapel City Church goes on. Chapel City Church has a mission, which leads us to the second principle. There are three statements: be strong and courageous, be strong and very courageous, be strong and courageous. You get the point that God wants people to be strong and courageous. That seems to be what he's saying. And the first statement says this: be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. You have a new mission. Do you know if 20 years earlier, if the children of Israel would have tried to move into the land, what God had to say to them? Because of what happened in the past, if you move into the land too early, this is what's going to happen to you. You're going to be in a world of hurt. And I won't be with you, and everything that you set out to do, you'll fail in because the timing was wrong. No, there was a time when it came, and God said, the old era is closed. The old era is different than the new era. And you know what? As we look forward to the future and say, what does God have for Chapel City Church? There's going to be a new leader. There's going to be a new group of leaders that grow up underneath that one. And they are going to set the pace, and they are going to do what God calls them to do. They're going to conquer that territory that God is calling them to conquer. They're going to move into the land that God calls them to move into, and they're going to be something special, and they're going to be something great. That's what God is calling you to. He's calling you to greatness. He's calling you to possess the land. He's calling you to do what he calls you to do. What is that plan? What is that future? What is that? I can say in general terms, but you know what? In reality, I can't tell you because that's not my job anymore. That's not my job. There's a point that had a clear beginning and a clear ending. It's not my job. Be strong and courageous and look to the future. But you know why? Because Camarillo needs Chapel City Church. I'm convinced of that. And we've got people all throughout this congregation who at one time were a part of Chapel City Church, then Camarillo Evangelical Free Church, and they've moved on to congregations that love the Lord Jesus Christ and are serving the Lord Jesus Christ and are doing the work, and God needs them too. God needs us as a band of churches in Camarillo to grow up and be what God has called us to be lighthouses, to live up to our name, Chapel City Church, a church where there's an influence, there's a beacon in our community. Joshua, don't be discouraged and don't be afraid. By the way, I'm jumping ahead. Be strong and courageous. And by the way, there are two statements that I want to make about all three of these things. You know what be strong means? Be strong means that it's their strength called for. If there were no strength called for, God wouldn't have challenged them. But there are difficulties involved. This is going to involve effort. This is going to involve your participation in all of these things. And be courageous means that it's risky. It's never a difficult thing to be courageous when there's no fear. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is moving forward instead of fear, because when we're afraid, we tend to step back, we step away. The courageous man doesn't step back in the face of fear. He steps forward and leans in instead of leaning away. Important. In looking at the old era, you shouldn't forget it. You really shouldn't, not because I'm involved with it, but because in the old era, it becomes a platform of faith, because you look back at the victories and how God ministered to you, how God worked in a church, how God worked in a people, how God grew you up, and you use that not as a nostalgia for I long for the old days, but as a platform of faith to say, as God worked in the past, so he will work in the present, and as God works in the present, so he will work in the future. Strong and courageous. God says in the next principle, be strong and courageous. Very courageous. Not just courageous. This calls for a little extra. Be strong and very courageous to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Don't turn to it from the right or the left, that you may be successful in whatever you do. Now, there's a little question comes here. What's strong and courageous about believing the Bible? What's strong and courageous about following the Bible? I mean, that's what we do. That's what we are, right? I mean, we have biblical sermons. We have Bible studies. We have children's ministries that kind of drill the Bible into our kids. We have youth ministries that are Bible-centered. We do all of these things. What's strong and courageous about that? Well, you have to read it a little more carefully, because it doesn't say be strong and courageous to know the word. It says be strong and courageous to obey the word. And obedience does get risky. to obey the law that God has planted in. And not to pick and choose, by the way, not to obey when it's convenient and when it's not, not to obey the stuff that we like and the stuff that we don't like, just kind of let it go, but to obey all of the word. Why is it risky? Because you know what? Sometimes there's a price to pay for obedience. Sometimes it will cost you. It will cost this church at times to be what God has called us to be and to follow what God has called us to follow, because sometimes there's a price to pay. It's risky because sometimes that old carnal, self-aggrandizing, personal desire person inside of us just wants to do the bad thing. You know it. And everything is screaming out saying, I just want to satisfy my needs. I just want to meet. I just don't want to do that. And God says, sometimes you've just got to say no to yourself. Sometimes when it's screaming the loudest, you have to turn your back on it and say, I will follow God's way and do things God's way. It costs. Because it's because sometimes it doesn't make sense to us. Have you ever been in that situation? I mean, after all, who says love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you? And all of that about loving one another and being tenderhearted and forgiving one another just as Christ forgave us, that's fine when it's the little stuff, but when it really gets to be the big stuff, that just doesn't make sense. How are we going to do that? And the question comes up when it doesn't make sense. Do you say, my sense trumps God's sense? Or do you follow what God has to say? Because when obedience gets risky, we start asking questions like, can I really trust God? Does he really have my best interests at heart? We start asking questions like, Can we really do it when it might not make sense to us? Can we really do it when it costs us something? And God says, yes, you can. Because if you really want to be successful, it won't be by the number of seats that you fill in a church. It will be by people who are following and doing what God wants to do. Because in terms of God's word, I said it a couple of weeks ago and I say it again, it's not about how much you know. Please understand, it's not about how much you know. It's not about how intricately you can set up the doctrinal systems. It's not how you can know all of the history and this and that and the other thing, because knowledge without action is worse than no knowledge at all. God wants you to be the word, to take what God has given you and to put it to work in your heart and life. That's what God wants of us. That's what God desires of us, people who follow. And he goes on to say this: keep the book of the law always on your heart, meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. And we think, oh, as long as I have morning and evening devotions, that's what it means. Doesn't mean that at all. It means let the word of God just kind of ooze down into your pores, into your body, into every area of your life, so that obedience doesn't become slavish, legalistic adherence to a code. Obedience flows out of a full heart that loves God and follows God and says, God, I'm here for you. God wants us to be the word, and he says, if you do that, you will be truly successful. You'll be truly successful. Be the word, Chapel City Church. Don't just talk about it. Be the word. Don't just give a head nod to it. Let it work through your heart and your life. Shine like the stars in heaven through all of Camarillo. People might see your good works, see your belief, see the word played out in your life, and glorify your Father who's in heaven. And finally, God says to Joshua, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Be strong and courageous. And then he says, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged. And you know what that means? There's going to be a lot of time of discouragement and afraidness. A lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of not knowing which way you can turn. A lot of times when you're going to say, God, I am scared to death. I've got nowhere to turn. And you're feeling like your resources are gone. I don't have the strength to continue. The enemy is too strong. There are going to be those times when you look ahead and you say, God, I just feel like I can't lift my head. And you know what the tendency is? The tendency is to draw back. The tendency is to curl up in a ball and say, I can't. You know, it'd be easy for us to say, oh, be strong, be courageous, don't be fearful, don't be discouraged. Thanks God for sharing that. I hadn't thought about that. I'll just flip the switch and be strong and courageous. That's not the way it works. It's a process. It's not an event. But in that process, comes a person, and God sets out the challenge and he sets out the remedy in the same moment. Because there will be times of discouragement. Personally, in your family, in your life, in your friends, and in your church, and in your community. There will be those times. And you look forward and you say, we can't do it. And God says, don't give up. Be strong and be courageous. Move in, not out. Move toward, not away. Be strong. Be courageous. Marshal the resources that God gives you, and you say, but I don't have any. Marshal the encouragement that God gives you and says, I can't see it. But then he says this, because I will be with you wherever you go. That's the key. That's the key to everything. I will be with you wherever you go. I will be with you when there are incredible, miraculous victories that no one could have predicted. I will be with you when there are defeats that you think that you can't possibly follow, that you can't possibly master. I will be with you in the encouragement. I will be with you in the discouragement. I just look back at my ministry. I look back and I say, you know what? I'm so glad that I didn't have to be perfect. In God's eyes or in yours. I'm so glad that you were a gracious and a forgiving congregation. I am so glad that we live together and that we understand that we are people just trying to move in God's way and doing it sometimes very imperfectly. And God says, yes, I will be with you then too. I will not forsake you. So how does it work? I think God said it best through somebody thousands of years later, through his name was James in the New Testament. When James simply gave three little bullet points, said, submit to God. Submit to God. Don't trust in your own strength. Don't trust in your own power. Don't trust in your own ability. Recognize that God is there. He said, number two, resist the devil. Take a stand. And he said, number three, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Step in. Step forward. This is who God calls us to be. People who, somebody said in a whole different circumstance that if you don't go, I won't go with you. That's what we should say to God. God, if If you don't lead us, we don't go. If you're not with us, we have nothing. We have nothing. And somebody who embraces God, like Jacob of old, says, I will not let you go unless you give me a blessing. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So, that's it. Thank you. I am stepping down. I mean, I just kind of picture in my mind, and the time is finally here where we're counting in minutes, not in hours, not in days, not in weeks, not in months, not in years, not in decades. We're counting in minutes. The moment when, for the last time, I'll walk out those doors as pastor of the Chapel City Church. It's a big deal for me. It's a big deal. And as I step through those doors, as I step down as pastor, directional leader of Chapel City Church, I don't do it with regret. I don't do it with sadness in my heart, because you know what? We have walked a great path together. We have loved and lived. You have walked with me. You have forgiven me. You have loved me. I do it with thanksgiving, because he's taken us this past 33 years through blessings, through sorrows, through trials, through loss, through blessings, through buffetings. He's walked us through it all together. And I step down knowing that you have been and are my friends. You're my friends, you are my fellow travelers, you are my companions on this journey that we have walked together. And that is a tremendous thing. And I love you all. I do. You are my family. And I wouldn't miss anything for it. You've shown me and my family your love, your blessing, and your acceptance. So I say to you all, God bless you. And God bless Chapel City Church.
Let's all stand together, and we'll join together in song and close the service. With power upon my heart.
My heart is filled with thankfulness to him who walks beside, who floods my weaknesses with strength and causes fears to fly, whose every promise is enough for every step I take, sustaining me with arms of love and crowning me with grace. My heart is filled with thankfulness to him who reigns above, whose wisdom is my perfect peace, whose every thought is love. For every day I have on earth is given by the so I will give my life, my all, to love and follow him. For every day I have on earth is given by the King. So I will give my life, my all, to love and
sing one more. We can just sing together and join together about putting our hope in Jesus as we move forward.
Oh, now I've been held by the Savior. Now I fell far from and I've been down to the river. Now I hate the same, a prodigal return. And all my hope is in Jesus. Well, thank God my yesterday's gone. Oh, I ain't going back. No, I'll never be the same. And all my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. And all my sins are
again, all my hope is in Jesus.
And all my hope is in Jesus. Well, thank God my yesterday's gone. And all my sins are forgiven.
My hope
and all my
Can you do one more thing for us as our pastor? Can you come pray for us? We go forward.
Lord, thank you for the road traveled. Thank you, Lord, that you have walked with us, that you have led us, that you have taken us through so many experiences. Thank you, Lord, that you have bound us together. Thank you, Lord, for experiences that have meant so much for me and for my family. And so many relationships and so much growth that has happened in this place. And Lord, we would not look back to the past without looking to the future and saying, Lord, we pray your richest blessing on this church. We pray that you will continue to use the Chapel City Church as a lighthouse for you in the years to come. We pray that you will watch over it, that you will protect it. We pray that you will guide it. And so, Lord, we thank you for your hand. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you that you came today. We thank you that you're here. In Jesus' name, amen.